Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. For whatever reason, the Lord had laid that chorus on my heart to start this podcast. Now, that doesn't mean we'll not start it the usual way, but it does mean that we'll start it that way. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, friends. I hope and pray wherever this podcast finds you that you are prepared to be a living sanctuary, to be a place where the Holy Spirit dwells, a place, a home of the very person and the very power of the Holy Spirit of a living and loving God. That is my prayer, that you be well, yes, and you be filled, but you be prepared to be that host, a living sanctuary. So God will have his way with you, through you, and sometimes despite you. May you be blessed today. May you be encouraged today. And I don't know, again, for whom that little chorus is for. I do know that that's an oldie but a goodie. One of the thousands of songs I sing each and every day, probably. I sing 1,000 songs in my head or out loud as I'm walking, running, doing whatever I'm doing. That just seemed to resonate today. Literally, I tried to start this podcast 3 different times. And each time I tried to do the good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And literally, I felt the Holy Spirit almost put his hand up inside of my spirit and said, that's not how I ask you to start this. I said, okay. Finally, the 3rd time, I think. Maybe the 4th, but there you go. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I will be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Well, Lord, I do pray that that's indeed the prayer of our heart. I do pray that's the desire of our heart. I do pray that's the goal of our lives, that we would continue to be that living and breathing sanctuary, that you would encourage us, you would strengthen us, and you would empower us. I do thank you for this podcast. I do thank you for those who listen, and I do thank you for those who are blessed, and I do thank you for those who reach out and say something to me. I've had a few people reach out since last week, you know, and very encouraging, and Lord, I thank you. Thank you for that. I really never know who all listens to this podcast, but it always is a blessing to do it because, Lord, I just want people to be encouraged. I want people to be blessed. I want people to be edified. I want people to be drawn closer to you. I want people to be a living sanctuary for you. I want me to be that, Lord. So I ask and pray, Lord, you continue to encourage us and bless us and fill us with your spirit. And this podcast, may it find us whole, healthy, well, and filled for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So this is going to be a little different. We will resume, more than likely, Acts next week. Want to just felt led this week to do another podcast with a couple different topics. So we'll do that. And but first, the gala update. Some of you have already heard this, but all of you can continue to celebrate with us. So this is our This was our third gala for the Joshua Center. So you listen to a podcast that represents basically the training center called the Joshua Center. I'm the pastor of Fermers Chapel. I am so blessed, so honored to be the pastor the last 20 plus years. Me and my family, Pam and I and my family have been here for 20 plus years, and we have, we've been very, very blessed to do so and continue. I mean, there's no end in sight, right? But at the same time, for those who may not know the history and the genesis of the Joshua Center, it really kind of started out of a ministry out of Fermers Chapel called Encouraging the Called. Encouraging the Called was a ministry that we put Jeannie Badle in charge of to help people understand the call in their lives. She administrated that. She helped people come into this home, the parsonage, where Pam, not always, but a lot of times, Pam would cook the supper. I would do the teaching. We would have anywhere from 20, 30 people here in this parsonage, crowded in, packed in. A lot of it was basically food. I would share a short devotional teaching, but the heart of it would be going around the table, going around the chairs, going around the room, sometimes inside, sometimes outside, and each person sharing what God was doing in their life. Each person sharing where God had called them or felt like God was calling them. We had young and old alike. We had missionaries. We had youth leaders. We had pastors. We had worship leaders. And we had people who had no clue. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful mix. And so from that began this, I think, the genesis of an idea of a training center. How do we help people walk in their call? How do we help people, become better leaders in the kingdom? And so thus began, we think, kind of that's where I believe that the seed was planted for the Joshua Center. Not take you all the way through it, but eventually came up with an idea that we needed to have a training center. And as in that training center, out came a three-year curriculum. And for those of you in the Joshua Center, you know this all too well. You better know it. But there's a three-year cycle. There's three tracks. So we like threes, right? Shalosh. So the three-year track, you can audit the class. Simply just don't even have to do any homework. Just simply come in, do what you do, and listen and glean and learn, and that's all you have to do. That's track one. Track two is each year you come in certification. You do the homework, and you at the end of it you earn a certificate of completion. If you choose track three, that's the ordination track. Now that's substantial. It's all 3 years. It's commitment, homework, ordination, Zoom classes, coaching classes, interviews, and a really, really, really big paper at the end called a dissertation, if you will. And we just had our first class of Ordinands 19 in February of this year. Incredible spirit-filled service. Wow. And each of the years in the three-year cycle, the first year is always on leadership. That's actually what we're doing this year. We're in the book of Judges. We are looking at leadership through the lens of Judges. And Judges is a kind of a nasty, gnarly book, but you can learn a lot about leadership from that book, as we've learned. And so there's the first year is leadership, how to be a leader, a biblical leader. Second year is always based on something of preaching and proclamation of the gospel. We always focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. How is it preached? How is it proclaimed? How do we study it? How do we proclaim it? And then the third year is always on some facet of the Holy Spirit or of the Trinity. We look at some facet, some principle. Last year, we took a whole year of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was, I think, incredible. Eye-opening. Wow. Revelatory, right? I think anyone who went through it found it to be just quite revelatory. So all that to say that's the 3 year, and each year, after the end of 3 years, we start to cycle over. But here's the thing. Every year is different. No year is duplicated. No year will ever be duplicated, I promise. We'll never just do the same year. We'll never recycle. I don't recycle sermons. I don't recycle teachings. I may say some of the same things in my teaching and preaching, but I don't ever recycle the same one. out of that, then, of course, that is what we are. We're in year 10 of the Joshua Center. Each year, the last 3 or 4 years have been exponentially powerful. I mean, each and every year, we've seen literally this real growth. We've seen this incredible increase, if you will, of anointing, of the Holy Spirit, of students, of excitement, of passion. It's been amazing. It has been just amazing to watch this. And so with that, we started a gala. 3 years ago, we started a gala. The first year, we had a gala. It was fun. It was more, probably more information than anything else. Now, you understand what a gala is. Choices. They have their annual gala banquet of Hubers. It is huge. And of course, they've been doing it for years, and they're highly successful. And they have, obviously, the platform is, you know, the Right to Life. But their purpose is to raise funds. That's what a gala does. So the first year, we basically just said, let's get some information out there. Let's make sure people know who we are. Last year, second year, we raised a little bit of money, about $8,000. That wasn't bad, wasn't great, just it was all right. This year was different. If you're a regular to the podcast, you know last week's podcast was done on site of some land that we're being gifted. 17 acres of land just outside of Corydon that we're being gifted. 17 acres of gifted land. Come on. And then, out of this incredible, this just wonderful generosity of someone within, obviously will stay completely anonymous, but this person that has been so impacted by the Joshua Center, so blessed and so encouraged by the Joshua Center, that this person has put up a $50,000 matching grant. We launched it last Thursday at the gala, and it will continue for at least to a couple of months. It may go to the end of the year. We'll see, but we'll go until we match it until the end of the year. But I'm waiting for the drum roll. $28,000 at the end of Thursday night. $28,000 of auction items sold, mainly donation, a chunk of that. The majority of that was just donations. Incredible, precious. $50 donations from people who did not have $50. $1,000 donations from people that just wanted to bless us. $4,000 donations that just from people who are just so generous. $5,000 donations from people who continue to believe in the Joshua Center and know what the Joshua Center means to them. For a total of $28,000, and now guess what? You double that. Guess what we got? $56,000. At this moment, we have $56,000. Now, that's a great start, but let me help you with where we're going. We got a lot to do. We have a building that we think, let me just own this, I believe with all my heart, friends, that there's someone out there. It may not be you listening, but it might be a friend of yours. It might be an acquaintance of yours. It might be someone that you know. I believe with all my heart, friends, that there's someone out there who has the means to basically foot the bill of this building. I really do. And if you know me at all, I'm not a salesman. I'd be horrible at being a used car salesman. But I do believe in a vision when it's from the Lord. And I do get pretty excited and passionate. And I'm pretty confident when I think it's from the Lord. All those things are true here. I believe the Joshua Center is of the Lord. I believe this vision is of the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that there are people out there who not only, we've already had people step up. They say, we can't do a whole lot of money, but we can do services. So we can do this for you for free. My company can do this as you build for free. Yeah, that's another way to give and help with this vision. I see this headquarters, this Joshua Center Global Headquarters, being done not in a long order of time. I don't see it being done over a period of 5 years. And I do not see us being in debt for 20. I don't. I see I feel, I sense somebody out there who has the means, their wherewithal, the heart, the passion, the compassion, and the deep, deep pockets to say, I can foot this. I can do this. So I invite you to pray about that. I'm not saying that you. I'm not saying it's not you. I'm just saying, would you pray about it? Would you pray about it? Would you think about it? And would you be just in deep listening mode with the Holy Spirit on who there might be around you that needs to know about the Joshua Center? I don't know how many of you are involved with the Joshua Center. If you aren't, the encouragement is get involved. I think it's worth your time. I really do. Especially if you want to grow and learn the way I think this Joshua Center is helping and blessing people to learn and grow. So there you go. That's the next. We got a lot. We have a lot to do. But I'm excited. And I am so blessed to be the pastor of Fermer Chapel. And I am so blessed to be the director of the Joshua Center. If you've got any questions and you'd like to know more, let me know. I'd love to talk you through what God might be doing through you and with you for the Joshua Center. So, hey, let me switch gears for the last little bit here. It just came to my attention this morning. This is, I think, one of the reasons why I felt like I was supposed to switch and go to a little bit of a different podcast. September is National Suicide Prevention Month. Just found that out this morning. I've been touched, impacted by suicide. My nephew, Jeff, committed suicide just within a month or two after I was born again. I was born again in May of 1997. He committed suicide, I think, at the end of June of 1997 and rocked my world. If I thought I had good theology on death and suicide, I did not, because I was wrecked for a while trying to figure out what in the world just happened. And that's not the point of this podcast right now. But I also know there are dear people in my life. I struggled with suicidal thoughts for years. I did, and just struggled with whether or not I needed to be on this planet. That was years and years ago. And I will tell you, since I've come to Christ and since I've come to Christ in the deep way I did, I've not struggled with that. But that does not mean that Christians do not struggle. One of the things I want us to encourage us to, I want us to really be intentional about praying for mental health. I know years and years and years ago, I'm 62 years old, and you know, mental health was just not on the radar, really. If you were mentally, I mean, you could be, you know, placed in a mental hospital, not ideal, and then there was a stigma. There still is a stigma. I just want to encourage us to be in prayer for folks who say that they are struggling mentally. And even emotionally. Mentally and emotionally usually is the same. And even physically, it's all together. The body, the scripture tells us, you know, that we are body, soul, and spirit. And I want to make sure that, I just want to put it out there that I think it's really important that we are paying attention. We are intentional about people who have some real significant struggles mentally and emotionally. I think there's still a stigma of weakness. There's a stigma of shame. There's a stigma, I think, even like, I hate to even think this, but there's almost this sense of like, if we pay attention to those dealing with mental illness or we're compassionate, it's almost like we're enabling or something like that. And I see still in this culture, a lot of pendulum swings with mental health. And I would just invite us as Christians, as mature Christians, to be in prayer and to be very intentional about how to help people who are dealing with mental health issues and emotional issues. Because again, they're usually together, they're usually connected, and even sometimes physical. They all kind of work together. And of course, spiritual. And just because we know Jesus and just because we're Christians does not mean we're immune from mental health issues. I believe my nephew knew Jesus very well, a deep, committed Christian, and yet mentally and emotionally became so distraught over a situation that he did not think there was another way out except to take his life. So again, very, very impacted my own life with suicide. And I know at the church here, we have suicide prevention laminated cards in the pews that we've had them out there for years now, just making sure people understand that there's places to reach out for help. And there's phone numbers to call. And I hope and pray that we are a safe place for people who are struggling. Does that make sense? So I'm going to offer a prayer right now and then transition to one last piece. But I just want to offer a prayer for those who might be struggling right now, or if you know someone who's struggling with mental health issues. And there's so many passages of scripture. I invite you to just Google. All you have to do is Google passages that help with mental health or mental health issues or emotional issues. And you'll find a dozen of them. You'll find more than that. So, but Lord, right now, I just lift up to you those who are struggling. I do pray that people will know what life is and how to value life and how important life is to you. You are, I know there's a lot of, there's debate, unfortunately, about pro-life and all that. And this is not a political statement about life and abortion, but you're pro-life, meaning you give life, you sustain life, you want the healthiest of life. So, Lord, that statement is nothing about anything else except you and your character. You are all about life. And you want no one to end their life early. You want no one to suffer through mental and emotional depression and anxiety and all of that. You don't want any of that. And so I do thank you for technology and medicines that can help with that. I do. And I ask and pray that you would help us to be on the lookout, to be on the watch for those who we can help encourage and edify and continue to help heal. That's the end goal, is healing mentally, emotionally, and yeah, physically, but certainly spiritually. So in all those realms, may we be the very hands and feet of Christ to bring great healing. And how about great hope? I know in the moments where I struggled with suicidal thoughts years and years ago, and as a pastor now who helps counsel and advise and offer some advice to folks, I do know a lot of people in this situation feel hopeless. So God, you are the God of all hope, and you are the God of all peace. Would you bring peace? Would you bring hope? Would you bring healing to all those that need the emotional and mental and spiritual healing this day? We love you, Lord. We do, and we thank you, and we trust this in Jesus, your mighty name. Amen. Love you guys so much. I appreciate you. And thank you for following along with the podcast. One last thing. I want you to turn your attention to the Person in Power Conference, November 5th, 6th, and 7th. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be at Wilmore again each year. And this is our third year as well. We like threes, but eventually we'll turn into four, right? Next year will be the fourth gala. Next year will be the fourth annual Person in Power Conference. But this year's the third one. Again, November 5th, 6th, and 7th, you can register through the joshuacenter.org website. We would love to see you there. We've got a pretty good handful of people registered already. It's a beautiful place at Asbury. It's a beautiful setting at McKenna Chapel, and we're going to dive in. It is a Bible study, worship service, prayer, healing time for Thursday night, all day Friday, and into Saturday. It's just, I think it's powerful. And you don't have to take my word for it. There's testimonies out there. There are people who have gone. This year, the theme is going to focus on DNA. What's our spiritual DNA? And we're going to talk about it. Usually what we do is we pick one scripture and we go through that one passage of scripture, that one story that we look at that really kind of helps in just deepen our understanding of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's all about the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all about who he is and what he does. And it is, again, it's one of my most incredible times that I get to teach and get to hang out with some dear, dear people and dear friends. But but also some new people. And so I just invite you to think about, if you're listening to this and you don't go to church at Fermer Chapel, even if you do, but certainly if you don't go to church, invite your church, invite people from your church, invite friends, check it out, ask me, talk, text me, call me. We got lots of people who can tell you about the Person in Power Conference. It is, I believe, one of the best things going, and it's also affordable, and it is a great time to get away, to learn, to grow, and to really, truly understand deeper the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. We focus on Jesus, we focus on the Father, and we focus on the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely biblical and absolutely Trinitarian. But again, we really help people understand who lives in them. We help people understand the power and the intimacy of the Holy Spirit within them. So check it out. I want to turn your attention to the Person in Power Conference, November 5th, 6th, and 7th. And I hope to see you there. I really do. All right, next week, probably going to return back to the book of Acts, Acts 5. And can't wait. So love you guys. Appreciate you. And thank you so very much for tuning in. Be blessed.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Fermer's Chapel, a country church by a creek reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.